The reading is from the Lives of the Saints, the third day of the month of October, Old Style, and the 16th of October, New Style, the life and passion of the Holy Hiermartyr Dionysius Therapagite. Saint Dionysius Therapagite was born of noble parents, who were pagans, and was reared in the most glorious city of Athens. He began the study of Greek wisdom in his childhood, and such was his success therein that by the age of 25 he had surpassed all his peers in his knowledge of philosophy. Nevertheless, he then departed to the city named Heliopolis, in the land of Egypt, where learned teachers had lived since antiquity, that he might perfect his knowledge. Together with his friends Apollophanus, he was instructed by the wise men of Heliopolis in the science of astronomy. On the day when Christ the Lord was crucified on the cross for our salvation, when the sun was darkened at midday because it could not bear the sight of the Lord's crucifixion, and the light was turned to darkness for 3 hours, Dionysius said in astonishment, "Either God, the creator of the whole world, is undergoing suffering, or this visible world is coming to an end." Then he said concerning the Master's passion, "Through the Holy Spirit, and not merely because he was learned in the wisdom of this age, when Dionysius returned to Athens, he married, and inasmuch as he was the most eminent of the citizens because of his nobility, intelligence, and integrity, the government of the city was committed to him. When the holy apostle Paul came to Athens and preached Christ crucified and resurrected, before the elders of the city, Dionysius hearkened attentively unto Paul's words, laying them up in his heart. The other elders told Paul that they would hear him speak of Christ again, at another time, but Dionysius, who was wiser than the rest, continued speaking with Paul alone. Paul asked him, 'What god do you worship here?' Dionysius pointed out to him in the city Cronus, Aphrodite, Zeus, Hephaestus, Hermes, Dionysius, Artemis, and many others. As Paul went through the city with Dionysius and saw these gods, he came upon an idol with this inscription, 'To the unknown god.' He asked Dionysius, 'Who is this unknown god?' Dionysius replied, 'He among the gods who has not yet manifested himself, but who shall come in his own time. He is the God who shall reign over heaven and earth, whose kingdom has no end.' When the apostle heard this, he began with success to sow the seed of the word of God on the good earth of Dionysius' heart, proclaiming to him, on the foundation of Dionysius' own words, that God had already appeared, and that he had been born of the most pure and ever-Virgin Mary. He also explained how Christ, God, had been nailed to the cross and suffered for the sake of the salvation of man, and that, unable to bear the sight of his suffering, the sun was darkened and did not shed its light upon the world for 3 hours. Saint Paul told him that this same God arose from the dead and ascended into the heavens, and he ended his words thus, 'Therefore, Dionysius, believe in him, and in truth serve the true God, Jesus Christ.' Dionysius called to mind the darkness of which Paul spoke, which had covered all the earth, and straightway he believed that God had truly suffered at the time in a human body. He opened his heart to the knowledge of the unknown God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and was illumined by the light of the grace of God. Moreover, he entreated the apostle to pray for him to God, that he might show him mercy and number him among his servants. As Paul was departing from the city of Athens, a certain blind man, whom all knew had been blind from his birth, besought the apostle to grant him sight. Paul made the sign of the cross upon his eyes and said, "May my Lord and teacher Jesus Christ, who anointed with clay the eyes of the man born blind and granted him sight, likewise enable you to see by his power." Immediately the blind man saw, and Paul commanded him to go to Dionysius and to say, "Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, has sent me to you, that you might go to him and be baptized, as you have promised, and receive the remission of sins." The blind man went and did as he had been told, proclaiming to Dionysius the divine benefaction bestowed upon him through Paul. When Dionysius saw that the blind man, who was known to him, now saw, he marveled greatly. He did not delay, but hastened to Paul together with his wife Damaris, their sons, and their entire household, and he was baptized by the apostle. After this, Dionysius left his house, his wife, and children, and joined himself to Paul. For 3 years he followed Paul wherever he went, and what he learned from him is evident in his treatise on mystical theology. Later, Dionysius was made bishop by St. Paul, and was sent from Salonica to Athens that he might serve for the salvation of men there. Dionysius had occasion to hear not only Paul, but the preaching of all the apostles. He was with them when they were all gathered together for the burial of our most pure lady, the Theotokos, and in his writings he states that he was in the city of Jerusalem at the Lord's sepulchre, where he saw and heard James, the brother of the Lord, and the eminent Peter, John the theologian, Herotheus, Timothy, and many of the other brethren, who at that time taught there the mysteries of the faith, proclaiming the divinity and humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as every true theologian teaches even now. Dionysius remained in Athens for quite a long time, through his labors causing the church founded by the holy apostle Paul to grow. But like the apostles, Saint Dionysius wished to preach the gospel in other lands and to suffer, and martyrdom for the name of Christ, and as did his teacher, the blessed Paul, whom he heard had suffered for Christ in Rome under Nero. He appointed another as bishop in his place in Athens and went to Rome, where Saint Clement, the bishop of Rome, received him joyfully. He lived with Clement for a short time and then was sent by him to Gaul. Together with the priest Rusticus and Eleutherius, the deacon, to preach the word of God to the unbelievers there. Saint Dionysius arrived in Gaul with these men and converted many people from idolatry to the Lord in the city of Paris, thus becoming the apostle of that land. There, with the alms given by the faithful, he built a church in which he celebrated the bloodless sacrifice and prayed God to permit him to gather together a multitude of rational sheep. As the word of God spread, the Caesar Domitian raised up a persecution against the faithful, similar to one brought about by Nero. He sent one Sisinnius as governor to Gaul, that he might persecute the Christians there. When Sisinnius arrived in the city of Paris, he immediately ordered that Dionysius, renowned for his miracles and divine wisdom, be seized and tortured, together with Rusticus and Eleutherius. Saint Dionysius was by this time already aged and very worn by his labors in the preaching of the gospel. He was bound firmly and led with the others before the governor, who looked upon him and said angrily, "Are you, Dionysius, the wicked old man who blasphemes our gods, disdains their worship, and opposes the imperial decree?" Answered the saint, "Although my body, as you see, is already aged, my faith blossoms with youth, and my confession ever gives birth in Christ to new children." Dionysius was asked by Sisinnius what god he worshipped, and he proclaimed unto the governor the word of truth, confessing the great name of the Most Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the governor, like a deaf asp, did not wish to hear the word of salvation, and asked all three prisoners, "Do you agree to submit to the emperor and to sacrifice unto the gods?" As though out of a single mouth, the saints answered, "We are Christians and worship but one God who is in the heavens. We will not submit to the emperor's ordinance." Then the governor commanded that Dionysius be disrobed and lashed mercilessly. As the saint endured this, he thanked Christ that he had permitted him to bear his wounds upon his body. They likewise tormented Rusticus and Eleutherius, who, strengthened by Dionysius and still more by God, glorified Christ as they suffered. The governor, seeing that the arms of the torturers were tiring more quickly than the bodies of the victims, ordered that the martyrs be cast into prison. The next morning his servants brought forth Saint Dionysius. In accordance with the persecutor's command, they stretched him out upon a bed of hot iron, while the saint chanted the psalm, "Thine oracle is tried with fire to the uttermost, and thy servant hath loved it." Then they removed him from the bed and delivered him unto wild animals to be consumed. But the saint remained untouched by the beasts, for God sealed their jaws. After this they hurled him into a roaring fire, but he remained unharmed, and the fire neither touched nor harmed him. He was then placed in the dungeon again with Rusticus and Eleutherius, and many of the faithful began to visit the prison. Saint Dionysius served the divine liturgy for them and communed them of the body and blood of Christ. When the blessed Dionysius celebrated the liturgy, a great light shining above him could be seen by the faithful, and the King of Glory appeared with the host of angels unto those who were worthy and who were permitted to behold him. Insofar as this is possible for the bodily eye, some time later Dionysius, Rusticus, and Eleutherius were taken again to the governor, who exhorted them to sacrifice unto the idols, but they would not consent, and once more they confessed Christ to be the true God. The persecutor became enraged, and again commanded that they be beaten without mercy, after which he condemned them to be beheaded. As the saints were being led out of the city to the hill, which is called the Hill of Errors, Dionysius prayed, saying, "O God, my God, who didst create me and instruct me in thine eternal wisdom, who hast revealed to me thy mysteries, and hast been with me wheresoever I have dwelt, I thank thee for all things which thou hast wrought for me unto the glory of thy most holy name. I likewise offer thee thanks because thou hast visited me, who thirst to see thee in mine infirmity and old age, and dost summon me and my friends unto thyself. Wherefore I pray thee, receive me and my companions, and be merciful unto those whom thou hast acquired with thy precious blood. Accept thou our labors, for thine is the power and the dominion, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, unto the ages of ages." When he had said the Amen, Dionysius bent his sacred head, which was cut off with a dull axe for the most holy name of Jesus Christ. In like manner, Rusticus and Eleutherius were beheaded for Christ after him. Following the death of his servant Dionysius, God worked a most glorious wonder. By the might of God, the saint's decapitated corpse arose, took its head into its hands, and walked over a mile to the place where the Christians had built their church. There it gave its head to a certain pious woman named Catulla and fell to the ground. Many unbelievers beheld this miracle and believed in Christ. Then were numerous Christians sacrificed to the sword of the persecutor. Their names are known only to the Lord, who has written them in the book of life. After Catulla took the head of Saint Dionysius, she wished to remove his body as well, but she was forbidden to do this by the unbelievers, and so she instructed the faithful to take that treasure, the sacred body of Dionysius, while she invited the guards to her home, offered them hospitality, bestowed gifts upon them, and detained them. The Christians took the corpse and buried it in the place where Catulla had committed his head to the earth. Saint Dionysius suffered when he was 90 years of age, 96 years after the Nativity of Christ, and at his grave many miracles were worked unto the glory of Christ our God. A tale related by Saint Dionysius concerning Saint Carpus and the two sinners. The great Dionysius the Areopagite, in his letter to the monk Demophilus, who drove a certain priest out of the church, wrote the following in order to teach Demophilus meekness and guilelessness. "It happened that when I was in Crete," said he, "I stayed in the home of the blessed Carpus, the disciple of the holy apostle Paul. Carpus was a man great in the virtues, who, on account of the extreme purity of his intellect, was truly worthy to contemplate the divinity. Never did he undertake to consecrate the most pure and life-giving mysteries without having first beheld a heavenly and divine vision. Once, as he himself told me, that holy man was grieved by a certain unbeliever. The reason for his sorrow was that the infidel had turned one of the faithful away from the church and led him to embrace impiety, which grieved the blessed Carpus exceedingly. It was necessary, then, for Carpus to be patient, to exhort constantly with edifying words for him, to exhort constantly with edifying words him who had fallen from the faith, that God's grace might prevail over the unbeliever's arguments. It was needful for Carpus to pray to God fervently for both sinners, that he who turned to impiety might return to God's holy church, and that the Lord might illumine with the light of faith him who was blinded by unbelief. But Carpus's soul was afflicted by much turmoil, although he had never before showed himself to be impatient. When evening had come, and midnight drew near, Carpus arose to pray, for it was his custom always to arise in the middle of the night for prayer. As he stood praying, he sorrowed much concerning these two men, and said to himself, "It is not just that sinful men, who pervert the ways of the Lord, should live upon the earth." And he prayed God that fire fall from heaven upon both those men, and mercilessly consume them. As he prayed fervently in this way, the room in which he stood began to shake, and was broken apart, so that it seemed to him that he was standing out of doors. Then he looked up, and saw that the heavens were open, and that Jesus was seated therein, surrounded by a multitude of angels, without number, whose appearance was like that of men. As the blessed Carpus gazed up at this, he marveled. Then he cast his eyes downward and saw the earth split apart, and a mighty and dark abyss appeared. At the edge of the chasm stood those two men on whose account he was grieved and whom he had besought God to destroy. They stood there very contrite, in fear and trembling, for they were about to fall into the abyss. In the depths slithered a serpent, gnashing its teeth. And there were other men present there as well, who beat the sinners and shoved and pulled them towards that fearsome serpent. When Carpus saw that they who had grieved him were in danger of falling into the chasm and becoming food for the serpent, he was glad, and he preferred to look upon the perdition of those two sinners rather than upon the opened heavens and Jesus, who was seated therein. But since the sinners did not fall, he was again vexed and grieved, and he began to pray God once more that they fall and perish. As soon as he lifted up his eyes to heaven as he had before, Carpus saw Jesus arise from his throne in the heavens and descend to the men who were about to fall into the mouth of the chasm. Angels took the men, and holding and supporting them on either side, led them away from the abyss. And Jesus said to Carpus, "In the future, do as I would, for if only men would hate their sins, I would gladly be crucified again for their salvation. Consider for yourself whether it is better that they dwell with the serpent in the abyss than with God and with his good angels, who love mankind." Saint Dionysius included this narrative in his letter to the monk Demophilus to teach him, and us as well, not to be harsh to those who have sinned, to desire their conversion rather than their punishment, to admonish them with love, patiently awaiting their salvation, and to pray fervently for such men to God, who desires not the death of sinners, that in his compassion he might have mercy on them and convert them. For he loves the righteous and has mercy upon sinners. Unto him be glory unto the ages. Amen. On this same day we commemorate our holy monastic father, John the Chalcedonite, the bishop of Caesarea, who because of his love for God forsook his throne and departed into the desert. Once as he was going to visit certain of the brethren with whom he was acquainted, a woman met him along the way. She fell at his feet and besought him not to disdain her, but to accompany her to her home, and to bless it, sanctifying it by his prayers. The saint consented, went there, and entered her house, and at once that vile temptress locked the doors, bared her whole body, and attempted to entice the godly one to sin. with her, but he tore himself from her hands, opened the doors, and fled. After this he worked many miracles and reposed in the Lord. On the same day we commemorate the blessed Hesychias, the Horebite, the Hesychast, who at first passed his life in negligence, and then fell ill and died. An hour later he came to himself, and after which he shut the door of his cell, and remained therein for 12 years in silence, never leaving. He conversed with none of the brethren, but rather shed abundant tears. When he was about to die, the brethren broke open the door of his cell and entered. They besought him fervently to impart to them a final edifying word, but he said this alone, "Forgive me, no one who has acquired the remembrance of death can ever sin." Amen.